time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. Now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave. And good Tuesday afternoon, everyone. And it is a good Tuesday afternoon. If it isn't sprinkling out there at the moment, you never know.
It is sprinkling.
It is sprinkling.
And I'm not Captain Bill either.
No, you're not. Captain Bill is off on a recuperation assignment as he had surgery on Monday. Must have been surgery Monday. Cat's mother had surgery and Captain Bill had surgery. And, you know, they just want to get out of work, I think, anyway.
I don't blame them.
But we had the start of the kickoff of the NFL week or the season this weekend, and I know, Jim, you're not the greatest fan of pro sports. You're much more into college.
I'm back in the pro game now.
Are you?
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
I took a break from
you,
it for a while.
You moved up.
Yeah. I graduated.
And, of course, you've got family from the Pittsburgh area, so I'm assuming you're a bit of a Pittsburgh fan, as Dan is.
Oh, yeah.
He's got family from there.
I've got some Yinzer blood in me.
Yeah, me too. All of my kin come from that area.
Yep.
And it just was so weird. So much of the, as many of the games, at least in the first half, if not the first game, really looked weak because this is the first week of the NFL, but we only had three practice games, and some players didn't hardly play any or any in the preseason.
Yeah, usually the first two games of the season are still like an exhibition game. I mean, the Bengals did that last year with all their starters coming in, and they didn't look that great. Then they hit their 10-game winning streak after that. But
right.
Basically, the first two games were a washout.
Right, yeah. But did they lose two or three in a row first?
Two in a row for sure.
Okay. But, so you're not going to count the Bengals out. And again, I was talking to Dan ahead of time, talking to my son. He said, what do you think? And he said, I think Stefanski just has their number. There are teams that just have other teams' number, no matter how good or bad they are. They can have another. I mean, Stefanski's played them 8 times and won 7.
He owns them.
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, I read that Joe Burrow has lost 3 out of 4 opening games, the last 3 out of 4. He's lost. So it's not unusual for Cincinnati to lose their opening game of the season.
Well, this is the first time since the Browns come back we've won 2 opening days in a row, I think.
Wow.
Isn't it?
It could be the beginning of a dynasty, Dave.
I was wondering about that. I was in the bank yesterday.
Oh, by the way, Dan Tinelli and Jim Vilk sitting in from our Sunday Sports and Review, sitting in for Captain Bill. I meant to introduce everybody, and I didn't.
Hi.
But you can catch them Sundays live at 11:30 to 12:30.
Without a net.
Without a net, that's right.
I don't know where she is.
No. Oh, I don't bump.
It's Aqua's net, yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry, getting back to...
I was in the bank yesterday, and they had a trivia question up, and it said, when was the last time the Browns won a season opener at home? And I didn't know.
When was it?
I don't know.
You still don't know.
They give you the question, but they didn't give you the answer?
The line went
You got to go to Alexa to get the answer?
It was written on a marker board. I think you were supposed to answer.
Oh.
But the line went so quickly that...
You weren't at my bank then.
Doesn't go so fast, Dan?
Yeah, no, not so much.
It goes better inside than
especially if you're wanting to get some of your money out. It takes even longer. If you're wanting to put it in, you kind of move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's because you get in the line of, you know, $15 or
that's
or less,
right. Yeah.
You know? So
that's my line when I get in there.
Oh, yeah. You can bank on that one.
So speaking of the Browns,
yes.
I did not catch the game, as I told you earlier, but the score looks impressive.
The score looks impressive. It's a little, I think, deceiving to a point. So much of that, I think, was defense containing the offense. It seems like the Cincinnati didn't really want to be here. It does seem that way. Just they didn't really have the drive to want to be here. And as I said, one of the last, just before the half is when Watson snuck in for a 4-yard TD. Now, that means it could have just as easily gone into halftime 3-0 instead of 10-0, which makes it a wee bit of a different game. But Cincinnati didn't come out in the second half to Cincinnati in the first half, I think, tried to do a lot more long passes. And with that nagging rain, which we didn't have any here. It was not raining here, but it rained the entire game up in Cleveland.
Yeah, that was odd. I kept looking out my window like, there's sun here, and I see raindrops dripping off the goalposts there.
It wasn't a bad rain, but it was irritating, I think. And it would make the ball harder to throw and harder to catch. And in the first half,
To kick.
I think that Burrow was too busy trying to do long plays to catch somebody out of place or whatever. And just that the rain didn't help them at all in that situation.
Speaking of kicking, as Jim did, the Browns kicked some field goals and extra points.
They did. They were all, I think the longest one was 45 yards or 46 yards. Cade York actually was a pretty good kicker until the first game he had a game winner. After that, whenever it came to a game-winning situation, he couldn't get it. Even in the preseason, no matter how close. I mean, he had some that were like 40 yards away, and he still missed them. And I think part of the reason is because Stefanski always, which he didn't actually, that's a thing I'm going to give Stefanski, he always goes for it on fourth down. He didn't this time. He went with the extra, the field goal instead. And I think maybe that more never shows you he didn't have confidence in Cade York. And when your kicker knows that, you should know your time is limited.
Yeah, it gets inside your head and everything gets worse. But, I don't know
if this guy's not good at more than like 51 yards, from what I understand. His percentage going past 50 yards is not real good, but he had everything under 50 yards. Even in the rain, and he made everyone.
He was solid, From the highlight reel, I didn't show any misses anyway.
No, he did not miss one.
If I were a coach, I would take that. At 50 and under, you're good. Because when you're close to midfield, the 60-yard field goal is nice. I love it, but
you can't expect it.
You can't expect it.
In the best of conditions, in Cleveland, even when it's sunny out, it's not the best of conditions because you've always got a wind swirling around.
Yeah, and fans, you can't expect a 40-yarder either. It's harder than it looks.
Yeah, because it's your goal to get, a 50-yarder?
My goal in my life is to hit a 50-yarder. I've hit a 41-yarder.
Wow.
With the wind behind you?
A lot of wind.
A lot of wind.
He had kite string on that thing.
My shorts were flapping in the wind, and I thought, you know what? I made a 40-yarder when I was in college playing, just messing around, and I thought, I'm going for 41.
This is my day.
Yep, this was my day.
41.
And I put it up there. The nice thing is all I have to do is get it up there, let the wind take care of the rest. And
as long as it doesn't blow it sideways, you're okay then.
I was right behind me. The conditions were perfect. So,
were you tempted to move back another yard after you sunk the 41?
No,
you just wanted to have the day.
I had my day. I will wait for another
windy day.
And the next hurricane that comes through, everyone's in the shelter, and I'll be out there. I can hit 50 now.
Okay, and here's another thing. I think again, I was telling Dan before. I don't think the Steelers were as bad as they looked, and I don't think the Browns were as good as they looked. Their big vaulted defense, but Schwartz unlocked or seat belted or whatever he calls it. What job did he have before he came to Cleveland?
I did not know this until you told me before the show.
He was defensive coordinator for Washington.
Ah.
They weren't that great last year.
Yeah, they were. Well, they were in a tough division too, though. Speaking of which, you were saying how I'm like kind of a Steeler fan.
Right.
I'm also a free agent fan every year, and I pick another team that that I want to root for. Last year it was the Colts, and that went well. Or not.
who are you going with this year?
I am going with Washington.
Oh. Are you going with Washington?
Yes.
Hey, they're under new ownership.
That's one of the reasons.
Yeah, and Magic Johnson is one of the co-owners. I don't know how many owners there are.
Is he really?
Yeah. He has part ownership, but one of the things they're throwing around is bringing back the name Redskins.
They did stomp that out last
week.
Did they? Yeah.
Because they were kind of hinting around using the old name during press conferences and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, the majority owner grew up in that area. He's a huge fan.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of talk, though, oh, he's going to bring the name back. And
okay, it was fans talking he's going to.
Yeah, there
more
was
than,
a lot of that.
More than ownership saying
name. Well, at first he was mentioning the name, not so much saying that he would do it. But he made sure when he bought the team that he was going to keep the name or the team, the colors, the history. And then I think people took from there it was going to be the name, too. But actually, I kind of liked Washington football team. It's generic, but if one team does it, yeah, I don't want it to be like soccer where everyone is insert your city name.
Yeah, right.
Soccer club or whatever. But one team doing football team. Sure, why not?
Do you have a side team you're kind of rooting for this year, Dan?
Well, I'm always a closet Browns fan. Even though I'm a big Pittsburgh fan.
Except that when they play each other.
Yeah. Right. But I am a closet Browns fan, so I'm always kind of pulling for the Browns if they're not playing the Steelers. And so, and that's always been the case since I was a kid. I was born in Cleveland, for God's sake, although I didn't know they had a football team until I was a teenager, because that name was never spoken in my house. But, yeah, that's always my side team is the Browns.
I've got a couple I'm kind of rooting for this year. Again, I lived in Buffalo for about 7 years. So I kind of back the Bills where I can. And I'm really kind of looking forward to see how much they progressed, to see what they can do with the Lions this year.
Last night must have hurt, huh?
Last night?
Oh, yeah.
Not as much as for the Jets. You know what's funny? It's funny because I talked to Dan on Sunday.
You called it.
And I said, you know, because we went over the schedule to look at it and said, well, then we got the Jets, but they're at the end of the year. And Aaron Rodgers won't be there at the end of the year. I just didn't realize he wouldn't make it past the fifth hike.
Yeah.
You know? And he's gone for the year. I mean, I hadn't heard officially today yet because they were doing the MRI today on him, but they are like, I think
Jimmy grew on me after a while. I mean, I've never been a real Browns fan, but I loved Nev Chandler.
Nev Chandler was interesting. He took kind of an intellectual approach to the game.
And when Jimmy came along, I think, okay, who's this guy? And gradually over time, I warmed up to him.
It's hard not to like him. He's just so excitable.
He was so much better with Deacon, though. I mean, not that he's any worse. But this other guy who's knowledgeable about football, obviously.
Yeah.
But he's just not fun to listen to. Deke was hilarious to listen to. And before the whistle was blown, he said, oh, there's going to be a whistle there. And he could tell you exactly what that was going to be, especially if it was holding, because he was...
Oh, he was an expert on that.
He was an expert on holding. So I miss Deke a lot.
So the new sidekick, I can't remember his name right now, but...
I don't think he even played the game.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think he was a player.
And see, that's the one problem I have with the Guardians announcers is that I love Hammy. Jim Rosenhaus has gotten better, but I think he's as good as he's going to get. And you got two announcers. Originally, when they brought in Rosenhaus, they had Mike Hegan, who was a player. Knew the game inside out, had great stories to tell, and it really helped the broadcast so much. When you have just broadcasters with no experience on the field of whatever the game is, it's not quite as good a game, I don't think.
You need a mix, just like the original Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
I mean, you had the strict announcer, you had the player, and you had
Howard.
And you had Howard. You had it all.
Who was always at his best during halftime when they did the recap of all the games on Sunday. Yeah. He was great at recaps.
Yeah. I was
better than the play-by-play.
I was one of millions of kids who was allowed to stay up late on Monday nights to watch halftime highlights. I had to go to bed right after that.
Mm-hmm.
I would always beg, let me stay up for halftime. And that was...
Really?
Yeah, otherwise I was in bed around 9 o'clock when I was little.
Yeah, I think my parents made me do that till I was...
Last year?
A senior in high school, yeah.
You know, Howard Cosell for a while had his own variety show. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't think it lasted very long.
No, it was maybe
once. I think
once.
It was called Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I think you're right. Saturday Night Live with Howard Cosell.
Oh, was it really?
Saturday Night Live with Howard Cosell. You're right. Yep. I'm sure that's what it was.
I think it was a year before SNL started its run.
Wow.
And it was he was slightly better than the Sunday Night guy. Really big shoe.
Ed Sullivan.
He was slightly better than Ed Sullivan. Ed Sullivan was never, ever, ever comfortable.
No.
On TV. And he was on radio before that. But he was basically, he was like a play critic. And all of a sudden, he started bringing an axe to radio. And then he went to television. But he was never truly comfortable. You never saw him when he wasn't sweating, you know?
It's amazing he lasted so long then.
It is amazing.
And they even named a theater after him now.
They did that Stephen Colbert does the late night show from.
That's right.
But they renovated that and made it so that they could, which nobody's doing anything now with that.
I think Ed Sullivan lasted so long because he had great guests. However they landed those guests.
He had vaudeville in there. And you could actually see vaudeville acts, original vaudeville acts, show up there on his show early on. And then he got the comedians and the stand-ups, and I remember seeing George Carlin there in a suit and short hair.
Wow.
You know?
And he had the Beatles. Beatles.
Yes.
I've heard of them.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And you couldn't hear him over the screaming girls.
Yeah. But, I mean, he had great guests for the most part.
His guests is what made it more than him. Unlike, you know, Carson, who would participate with them and sometimes do a sketch with them, that kind of a thing that they would pre-record for the show, that kind of a thing. But he was never a showman himself.
No, he was very stiff. Very stiff. I just saw some, right before I came here today, I was watching some old stuff on YouTube, Johnny Carson and Tim Conway.
Oh, no.
Where Tim Conway was playing the dwarf, you know, character. One was he was a jockey, and another one he was a basketball player, and another one he was a golfer. And it was hilarious just because, you know, Johnny was kind of the straight guy for a change.
Yeah.
Instead of Ed McMahon being the straight guy, Johnny was a straight man, and Tim Conway was making all the funnies. But it was great.
Yeah. How could you not be Tim Conway's? Who could Tim Conway be a straight man to?
No,
nobody.
No.
Nobody.
The guy's just naturally hilarious. It's just the body language and everything. You know, he's
And it's impossible to be a straight guy next to him because.
No, yeah.
Ask Harvey Korman.
And ask Ernie Anderson.
Yeah.
Who Goulardi, Ernie Anderson, because you know, they did quite a few things together here in Cleveland, and they did a couple things out on the West Coast in that Rango series, I think. He was a regular. Last, 13 weeks? For years, Tim Conway drove plates on his car and said 13 weeks. It was for his Rango series.
But he's just a funny man. He can't not be funny.
Yeah.
I've seen him give acceptance speeches for awards, and you can only be straight for so long, and then he breaks into himself, who is funny.
You know, even though we talk dwarf and golf and basketball and such, we probably should get back to some sports.
Yep, real sports.
Real sports, yeah.
One more thing about the Browns game. This came out in today's Beacon. Garrett Sack seals, or clutch sack seals victory. It was 24-3. There's no such clutch anything.
Yeah, at what point did he seal it?
And a 24-3 win. You know, come on. Now, my point about the Steelers is I don't think they're as bad as they looked. I think that going against San Francisco, who made it to the Super Bowl last year, just didn't have a quarterback healthy enough to finish a game. It was the reason they may not have won.
Yeah.
But they're a very good team. And I think you're still trying to find your identity with your quarterback.
Yeah.
Not that he can't do it. It's just that he's working his way up. I've heard through preseason that they loved it. The fans loved it, or the team loved it. They were flying under the radar. Nobody was talking about them.
It is amazing the swing of emotions from Steeler fans that I've heard or
really?
Read. Oh, yeah, the preseason, it was all, hey, we're doing so well. And after one game, I'm not going to another game ever again as long as this coach is here. Fire the coordinator. Fire him. Get rid of this quarterback. We suck. We stink.
But one of the things I saw online was that the Steelers fans didn't show up, and many of them sold their tickets to...
Yeah, the 49ers have a very... They travel well, just like the Steelers do. I mean, the Steelers took over at the Chargers at their stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a Sunday night football game. You would have thought it was in Pittsburgh. But the reverse happened here.
Yeah.
49er fans flew
out. Well, and it's odd because the after-sale tickets are so much... We had an article on that on our Sunday Sports and Review. What was the average ticket of the... On the low end was $236, something like that, Dan?
Yeah, it was...
It was unbelievable. And some of them were close to, what?
There, some of them were up in the $500
yeah.
range.
For a ticket.
Yeah.
No thanks. I like football, but I'm not paying that much.
And yet, you could see it better in your living room than you can.
Right.
I have to feel, I understand it's an atmosphere thing. I don't spend that much for atmosphere.
No. And then, you know, you got to park. Which you normally have to pay for parking.
Yeah, and in Cleveland, that's on game day, got to be at least $30 to park.
In Pittsburgh, it's bad. A few 2019, I went to a Pirates game. Don't ask me why.
Was it early in the season or late?
It was late. It was August because it was exhibition football season.
So as my dad would say, they've assumed the position
by
then.
They assumed a position at that time. Yeah. I was just there to meet friends and stuff, but... Parking, I went in a parking deck, and I think it was probably $8, maybe less than $10.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
There was a Steeler game that evening. So as we're leaving the baseball stadium, I'm coming out of the parking deck. Everyone's trying to come in, and as I drive out, I see that sign changed from $7 or $8 to $40.
Whoa.
And that was when?
That was 2019.
2019.
And
okay.
That was nowhere... I wasn't right next to the stadium. It was... Well, especially... This one was between stadiums. So either way, it was a walk. And you're paying that much...
Wow.
I mean, it was a sheltered
No, I think,
deck, so
I think in Cleveland, if you're right by it, it's at least 30, probably $40 on Browns Day.
Yeah, I think even for the Guardians, I thought I saw... Well, when they were doing well, it was... 25, 30,
yeah.
Pretty close to
yeah.
it. No thanks.
Yo,
that's more than I used to pay for a ticket.
Yeah.
I remember when I got the boys once, and I saw Nolan Ryan. I was getting out of work a little early. It's when I was at Taco Bell, and I came home and told the wife, we're going to the ball game. I had stopped on the way, gotten four tickets to the Indians. It was Nolan Ryan was pitching that night, so I wanted to go see it. He won. That was his last win he had of his career.
Oh, really?
Because he got hurt right after that. He came back for a couple games, but he didn't get a win. That was his last win
wow.
he had of his career in Cleveland.
Did he have a no-hitter going through about six innings?
I think he may have, yeah.
I may have been at that game.
Because I was there. The boys really don't remember it. I didn't take them to a lot of ball games. They remember going to a ball game, but they didn't realize... That was Nolan Ryan's last win.
Yeah.
They didn't realize they were there.
I might have been there because I was.
I didn't see you.
I was along the right field. I always love sitting right field, right on the wall.
Okay.
So I can get a home run ball. That's foul balls. I don't care. Don't give me a foul ball. I want a home run ball.
And I got him up at the May Company, the tickets, because there was a
oh really
a ticket master there.
Yeah.
And up Chapel Hill.
Yep. We got right at the gate, but yeah, I remember that up at Chapel Hill.
So I wanted to make sure I had tickets, so I bought four tickets, and the four tickets weren't even $40. And to park back then, it wasn't that much. I mean, we're talking, what, 95, 96, something like that. No, it was before that, I think.
It was at Municipal, wasn't it?
It was at Municipal, yeah.
Okay,
was it Municipal?
Well, that's the one I was at. If you were at the new park.
No. It was Municipal. You're right.
Okay.
It was Municipal, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, because I was sitting along the wall. It was about fourth inning or something, and I put a $5 bill on top of the wall. My brother and his friend were with me. I said, he's pitching a no-hitter tonight, $5. So they put their fives down, too, and it was about the sixth or seventh when he finally gave one up, and Lost my money.
There went that fiver.
And that was, yeah, because I don't think he pitched two times in Cleveland that year.
Okay.
So I think that was, yeah, that we were probably both there at the same game. And I didn't even recognize you. But I was never up.
I
never got a seat up against the wall myself.
Oh, that was
one time.
That was the place to be.
Josie Vecchio's son, the lawyer, he had season tickets that were like second row back along the third base side, real close to third base. So
I never liked along the baselines because you have to crane your neck to the side to watch.
I didn't care. I think the dumbest thing, and they were the most expensive, like for the Yankees, behind the catcher, you know, like up in the stands behind the catcher. So that's the worst way to watch a game.
And those are, what, $2,500?
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
I'd much rather be straight ahead center field looking in.
Exactly. That's
looking out.
The bleachers.
Yeah, exactly.
Up there with John Adams.
Where the real people hang
boom,
out.
Boom, 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 boom.
I was in the bleachers for Phil Niekro pitching against the Yankees. Playing polka music in between innings. It was an atmosphere. That's probably the first time 70,000 people listened to polka music at the same time.
That's great, man. Polka music at the baseball stadium.
We need more of that. If I was a major league player, that would be my walk-up music.
That's a polka. The too fat polka?
I'd have to go through my collection now. I got some more from Dad, so I gotta go through and pick my signature song up.
Okay.
So do many of the major league baseball parks still have the organ player?
No.
Remember how they all used to have the organ?
I don't think so.
The Pirates do, sort of. The organist died in 2000. He did. God rest his soul. But they kept snippets of what he would play, and they just insert it as needed.
That's great. He dead, but music lives on.
Actually, I think the Cubbies, when I went to see a game there at Wrigley Field, I think they may have. Pittsburgh was there. I got all that game away to see Pittsburgh play. But anyway, and one amazing fact that watching a game there is you don't realize how small that ballpark is till you see a home run literally hit out of the stadium.
Right, yeah.
And what's funny is that was a Pirate that hit that home run. Next thing I know, I see the ball being thrown
back in.
And then it goes down the line till it gets down to the field and everybody's cheering. I say, you know what? They'd be chasing and beating me up. If I got a home run ball, they'd be chasing and beating me up.
Oh,
I don't care who hit it. It's a home run ball.
Yeah. They threw it back.
I want to go to Wrigley Field for two reasons. I want to sit in the outfield. I want to catch a visiting team's home run ball and keep it. And I want to order a hot dog with ketchup on it.
Hot dog with ketchup.
Because in Chicago, you don't order a hot dog with ketchup.
Oh, really?
There are places that'll have ketchup packets on the counter, and if you say, I'd like a hot dog with ketchup, please, they'll tell you, there it is, you put it on, I'm not.
What is it they have against ketchup?
Have you seen a Chicago dog?
Oh, yeah.
It's everything but ketchup on a hot dog.
Well, then what would you need ketchup for?
I would scrape the other stuff off.
The hot dogs are great. They always sneak those little peppers down along the side.
Yeah, see, you lose me with peppers.
Oh, I love that shit. Yeah,
just give me mustard, ketchup, barbecue sauce. A1 sauce is very good.
Onion? Are you an onion guy?
No onion.
Yeah, my wife's a big onion on hot dog.
I think onion adds such great flavor to anything.
I like to have it my way. So hold the onion, hold the everything. Hold the pepper.
When I was going up to Chicago a lot for work, you know, I'd ask people where to eat. And there was this one hot dog place. Everybody said hot, you know. And I would go there, and it comes with everything but the kitchen sink on it. But no ketchup.
No ketchup.
You are correct about that.
Yeah, they have a thing. And I know some people from Chicago, and I don't know exactly what it is, but at least the two people I know, they think it's juvenile. It's like, well, when you're a little kid, you eat ketchup. You grow up and you put mustard. Like, well, I like both.
You know? Yeah, I like ketchup, too, on my hot dogs.
Actually,
if you got everything else, you don't really need it.
I actually, on my way out of town one time, although they weren't fresh when I got home, I kept telling my wife about these hot dogs. So I bought six of them and didn't eat them on the way home. I was tempted because it's a long drive home from Chicago. And she agreed they were good, even after they sat in the car for however many hours it took me to get home.
They wrapped in foil?
Yes.
Yes, that's That's the best because it holds the steam in. The bun gets all soft.
Yes.
I used to work at the Coliseum, and we'd get the leftover hot dogs at the end of the night, and they're just – they melt in your mouth.
Yeah. You know? It's good stuff.
Now, you were a vendor at the Cleveland Coliseum.
Yes.
You and your brother.
Yes.
And what all did you sell?
You start out selling food like pop and hot dogs and that, and then you can graduate to souvenirs. And my brother's actually still doing it up at the new arena.
Oh, is he?
Well, the new 20-year-old arena, but I think he's closing in on retirement. But he started in 19 place op- the Coliseum opened in 74, so he started in 75, and he's been vending ever since.
Wow.
As a part-time side gig?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although back then, you could make some money. Well, the people with seniority, like my... There were guys there making probably $30,000, $40,000.
Wow.
Just not...
And that's not an every-night thing either.
No.
The Coliseum.
But it was all commission, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You got the amount of hot dogs you sold? Just how much you got?
Well, these are the souvenir guys making
the souvenir
money.
Guys. Okay.
Yeah. If you had a stand and you're working concerts... Oh, even with my low seniority, I did make $972 in one night. Thank you, New Kids on the Block.
Wow.
Wow.
But the following night, I worked a Cleveland Force game and made $1.75.
You remember when they had the tennis team?
I heard of it. I never... I'm not that old, but I mean, I was old enough to be around when it. I didn't go see it, though.
We used to go up and watch him play tennis at the Coliseum.
Yeah, that was... What was their name?
I can't remember. I mean, we would go up and just get drunk, and anything that was going on up there, we would go to, just because we could go up and drink.
I can't imagine you had big crowds for that.
No. You could sit wherever you wanted to.
Probably outdrew a Stepionera Cavs game.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, yeah.
I'm the one local person who missed that.
Oh, really?
Oh, because it was great. It was...
What was great about it?
The cheapest seats back then were $5. I think it was 82. Things were so bad that they cut all ticket prices in half. So a $5 seat was $2.50. I was helping my brother one time. He gave me $100 for helping him with something. I spent that money on $2.50 tickets for the rest of the season.
That was a season pass.
Pretty much, yeah. And there were some games, some of the ushers recognized me, like, they just opened the door, said, come on in. So I'd save even more on that. But, oh yeah, $2.50 for a seat, and you had the place to yourself. And once you're up there, when the first quarter's done, we knew some of the ushers, and I'd look down toward the floor, and they would look up at me, and they'd motion like, all right,
yeah, come on down.
Come on down. I'd get floor seats, like next to the visiting bench or something. Of course, my brother got ticked off because the one time the Sixers were in town, I have my Sixers pennant waving that. He's like, we let you down on the floor, and you're waving a Sixers pennant at a Cavs game. Yeah. But, yeah, that was fun. You get the good seats eventually, and
no crowd. You can spread out. But you had terrible basketball.
Well, if you're rooting for the other team, that helps.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I also had low expectations because the games where I did root for the Cavs, if you scored 10 points, I'm thinking, you had a good night.
Yeah, they had some rough years starting out.
They were rough, yeah.
But as you said, listening to Joe Tate on the radio still sounded...
And he got paid per game starting off like that. You know, because I think he had a job... doing something else that made him more money than he did. He took a pay cut to come be the announcers for the Cavs.
Yeah, he was doing some college. I forget which one.
It's somewhere in Indiana, I think.
That sounds right.
Because that's where he was from, Indiana.
I think he was sweeping the floors at the radio station or something.
Yeah, yeah. Now, he was there at the beginning when Mulledy started the team.
Yes, yep.
Yeah.
And then he was there through the debacle years of Stepien, and then one year, the first year, you got rid of him off the...
I can't remember if they got rid of him or if he quit, but there were 2 years during the Stepien era where he was in New Jersey one year and I think Chicago the other, and then he came back. I think the guns brought him back.
Okay, it was the guns that brought him back.
Yeah. But other than those 2 years, he was there up until, 2010? 09, something like
just
that?
Just about that, yeah.
And then he was, doing PA announcing over at Mountain Union?
No, he did the play-by-play over
at Mountain
Union.
He was doing the radio announcing.
Radio announcing. And that's what he truly loved. He didn't even watch basketball after he retired from it, from announcing the Cavs. But, and he had been doing all along, he had been doing the Purple Raiders games.
Yeah, I saw a couple
of those. I did not know that.
Yeah, they used to be on Channel 55, whatever. I can't think of the
low
call
power.
Yeah. But I caught a late night replay of that once, and that was Joe. Sounded like Joe.
Wow.
Now, and at one point, was Joe not doing both television and the radio broadcast at the same time?
I think so. I think you're right about that.
And he never had anyone there beside him helping him out. And yet, you knew exactly the position of everybody and where they were and which direction they were going. It was just absolutely amazing listening to him call a game.
And the stats. He always had the stats. He would, tell you how many field goals, when a guy would go to the line, how many free throws he's made and all by himself.
He was like the Vin Scully of Cleveland.
Okay.
the last few years when I had a baseball package on TV, I could catch some Dodger games, and he called the game by himself.
Yeah, even he didn't do the away games, right? He just
eventually, yeah.
Yeah, because he just did the home games at one point. And Tom Hamilton has been doing it for a long time, and he's taken a lot of days off now, especially on the road. So do we see him only doing home games or eventually backing out?
Maybe he just needs to cut back on those ground ball to shorts in the first inning that he makes it sound like a pennant-winning play or something. I think he's just worn his throat out. Ease up a little on those first-inning plays, you know? I've talked with Dave about this before. Hamilton, in the moment when you need it, yes, he does sound great, but you don't need it in a mid-season game on a standard play, like, great catch, he got him.
That's how much he loves the game.
That's
Jim.
How much he loves the game.
I remember hearing the Herb Score call, and that ball's hitting, it's way back, way back, way back, and the shortstop has it. So, what?
Oh, that's funny.
Nev Chandler was doing a game with him once, and he called it a home run. And he sat there, and Herb was marking his score sheet, because he kept a score sheet there with him for each game and was doing it, filled it in. And Nev saw it wasn't a home run, and he said, Herb, you're not going to believe this, at the outfielder, he just jumped up, reached into the stands, and grabbed that ball, and it was out. You know, because it wasn't even that close of a play. But Herb Score called him as he saw him, and he needed glasses.
He must have had a problem with depth perception.
Yeah, I had one of the freelance gigs I was doing. Phil Rizzuto was the announcer.
Oh, my. Yeah.
And,
holy cow.
Yeah, and he was up in the announce booth, and Herb Score was in the next booth over, and he kept yelling at Herb Score like he could yell through the glass to the next booth. He kept calling him a huckleberry. Score, you huckleberry. And he goes, you're over there eating an ice cream cone. And finally the camera guy got a shot of it. Herb Score was up there eating a big old ice cream sundae while the game was going on.
Hey, why not?
And Rizzuto kept calling him a huckleberry. Score, you big huckleberry. But Herb Score was beloved.
He was.
Everybody up there just, when he was around, they just treated him like gold. And, I mean, what a hit. What took Herb Score out of action? What ended his
old age?
Is that what it was?
Yeah, because he lasted till 97. Yeah. The World Series was his last game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was, I think.
Yeah.
And he should have been gone a few years before that. He really should have.
That was another instance where I've never called myself a Cleveland Indians, Guardians fan, but I wanted them to win that series for Herb Score. Even before I knew it was his last game, I just thought, Herb needs to go.
He's seen so much god awful baseball in his life.
Yes, indeed.
And he has. I mean, some of those series in the six teams in the 60s and 70s, they either had pitching and no hitting, or they had hitting and no pitching, or they had no pitching and no hitting. You know, they had nothing.
He was one of the two things I loved about the Indians. It was Herb Score and Municipal Stadium.
Yeah, as long as you didn't get the seat right behind the pole, you're okay.
Oh, well, yeah.
Those are the 250 seats, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember going there when I was working games, and everyone always talked about I'd never been there to watch a game, but I'd worked. So I went out there, and I actually sat down in some of the seats. I'm like, hey, you're right. You could miss half the game.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to lean, you know. Was it built for baseball or football?
No, it was built for, I think, the Olympics.
The Olympics,
wasn't it?
Yeah. The Olympics.
Oh, is that where? Okay. Yeah.
It's built on a landfill.
If you build it, they will come.
Extended
they
out into the lake.
Into the lake.
And took this landfill and built on top of it. And it was built for the 32
yeah.
Olympics.
Wow. Yeah. I never knew that. But, okay, I was trying to figure out what sport it was built for, because the way it was laid out was there were some bad seats.
I thought it was interesting because when they were thinking of renovating it for Art Modell before he moved it out of town, one thing he did is they were going to have dog races in there like Tuesdays and Saturdays. And Art Modell was completely against that, but that would have paid for the renovations that they needed to hold the stadium together.
It really could have been the dog pound.
Literally. But yeah, it's just
dog races.
Oh, they had all these neat architect renditions of it and stuff. It was pretty cool. So I said, yeah, let's do the dog races.
I mean,
I don't even think we didn't even have casinos then, I don't think.
Nope.
So I think that was part of the thing that held it back too, is the state had not approved. We had this state lottery because it all went to the schools,
right?
That's why my parents approved it. I don't think they ever bought a lottery ticket, but they approved it because the money was going to go to the schools. But what they didn't realize is what money went into it for the schools, they took out of the
right
and put in the general budget instead of being extra money, so people wouldn't have to keep paying more and more and more. They took out what was given to them by the
the
lottery.
It was a net zero there, because you're right, they took the equal amount out from the regular allotment and then they put in the lottery money.
Yeah.
It's
welcome to Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, it sounded great, right?
It did sound great.
Well, like the Pennsylvania lottery, it always said the proceeds go towards senior citizens. Like, would you like to elaborate on that?
How does that work?
Yeah, because I know old people and they're not getting nothing.
They don't even get a game ticket.
Yeah. Yeah, the lottery is, it's the first form of gambling that most states approve of.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Ohio took a long time to allow other sorts of, you know, sports gambling and whatnot.
Well, what happened is because they had the racetracks where you could bet. They had one here, one Toledo.
Right.
Was it one in Columbus or Cincy? Something like that. I think we had three.
I think Columbus.
Columbus. So we had three racetracks that you could bet at. And what happened is all the other states around us were building casinos.
Yeah,
and they were the closest one to Cincinnati was right on the Ohio River, just on the on the Kentucky side, and so because all these Indiana was building them, Pennsylvania was building them, Kentucky was building them, West Virginia, and you're right, I think it's when West Virginia was starting to build it, they said, all right, we're going to allow some, because all the money was traveling out of state.
Right. Yeah.
You may be against gambling, but it's not going to stop people from gambling. And they sent their money out of state to go do it.
Yep.
They have all these trinkets and things like that to get people on the bus to go to Windsor, Canada.
Yeah, all my buddies used to go to Wheeling, West Virginia to gamble. And they
Wheeling Downs. I actually went to dog races at Wheeling Downs when I was probably 13 years old.
Yeah.
Did they ever catch the rabbit?
They did not.
Oh, okay.
But they always say, going to go get that Wheeling feeling this weekend.
Is what they say?
The Wheeling feeling. Yeah, and they'd head down there to the track, you know. And, you know, you're right. All the money was going out of...
out of state. And that's the only reason the state legislature put it up to a vote to try and get some casinos here.
Now you can gamble online.
Yeah, you're going to gamble on your phone.
Yeah,
and get suspended from the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely crazy what happens with allowing of gambling, and its revenue for football and baseball teams, and probably basketball and hockey as well.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's revenue for them. If nothing else, they're sponsoring things and paying big money in advertising. If nothing else.
Speaking of advertising, I listen to NFL radio, and it's amazing the number of gambling ads they have. And at the end of them, they start to sound like a pharmaceutical commercial where they've got all the side effects. Well, with the gambling one, it'll say gambling problem, call in this state, call. They rattle off like 10 states, like in New Jersey, call blah, 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 blah. In New York, call blah, blah, blah. And they're going on.
Well,
it's like
in Ohio, they required them to say that.
Yeah.
So because we don't want people with gambling problems. So if you have a gambling problem, don't gamble.
Don't gamble.
Don't gamble.
Yeah. I never had that problem because I work too hard for my money.
Yeah, I'm with
and that. So I'm really leery to give it, just to give it to somebody for no reason.
Yeah. The closest thing to gambling I do is when the lotto gets up to around $1 billion, I'll buy a couple dollars worth of tickets.
I do laugh when I hear people say, "Oh, it's only $400 million."
Yeah, it's only $400 million.
I'm not playing that.
Yeah.
But I like the line. I can't remember what comedian it is that someone asked him, "Do you gamble?" And he goes, "Every time I order out."
I thought we were going to work marriage into that somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, gambling is something that I've never, thank God, I've never really gotten into. I have at least one friend who really got into it in a big way and ended up not, you know, making out so well in the long run. But
does anyone make out well in
the long
run?
I don't think so. I mean,
Vegas never loses. They may lose a game or two or something like that, but they don't lose money.
They lose the battle, but they don't lose the war.
No,
right, exactly.
So, and then when they do hit, you know, like they'll hit a big bet or whatever, and then what do they do with the money? They put all that plus more into more gambling.
And if they start getting behind, then they start doubling up to get their money back.
Yeah, because I got
to
catch up.
Because once you do that, once you lose and you feel you have to catch back up, oh, no, I just spent the rent money. I better double up to get the money back. Yeah, you know, that's a downhill spiral.
I follow the advice my dad gave me. We went to Atlantic City 1977. I didn't know he went off to the boardwalk while we were at the beach. Mom was with us, so we weren't unattended, but he went off to the boardwalk. He goes, later he told me, he goes, "Yeah, I had $2 with me." $2 went further back then. He goes, "I'm going to gamble $2. If I win, I'll keep playing. If I lose, I'm out." He was out, and he was back on the beach.
Yeah. AC.
You gamble what you can afford to lose.
I was assistant.
Like lending money.
In Brunswick, my manager, Glenn, he took the money he would spend on a really good vacation, and once a year he would take his wife and they'd go to Vegas. And he would spend that. He would have that money. He says, if I don't win anything, I haven't lost anything that I would spend on a really nice vacation. And he never went beyond that.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. But that shows a lot of self-control that a lot of people don't have, especially when they start getting a little behind. Or, you know, even when they get ahead, then they get cocky and they want to keep going.
Let it roll.
I think I went to a Northfield once with my ex. And
did the place really go crazy every 19 minutes?
It didn't go crazy, but they had a race every 19 minutes.
Okay.
But we played the ponies a little bit there, or the trotters. And I got to a point by the third game and started to figure this thing out. And so for the next, like, five games, and we didn't put anything more than $3 or $5 down. We won those games. And then I said, "All right, we're done." She said, "What?" I said, "We're done. We paid for the dinner. We paid for the babysitter. We paid for the gas and have a few bucks left to stop at Giant Eagle or Apples at the time. Apples on the way home. We're done. But we're winning." He says, "That's why we're done."
Yeah. That's right.
And I walked away. You know, that's hard for a lot of people to do.
Well, yeah, when you're on a roll, especially.
Yeah.
You don't think it's ever going to end.
Because we had like 3 or 4 games. Neither of us won. I started figuring, okay, you pick a horse, and I picked a different one, and one or the other won. And we did that five or six races in a row, and I just walked away. wasn't going to lose that money.
You were like the Jim Brown of horse betting. You walked out in your prime.
That's the only time I've ever done it. I've been to a Canadian casino once, and I spent about $2.50, and I was done. Again, I don't like giving up. Now, my wife was sitting there, and she was hit the different machines, and she did all right. You know, she paid for lunch. And that's where we ended that, you know.
Who says there's no such thing as a free lunch, right?
I used to go to this.
You don't pay for it. Yeah.
I used to go to this broadcasters conference once a year, and it was held up in New York on at a casino on an Indian reservation. They could have casinos before anybody else could. And I never gambled at all when I was there. I had plenty of other things to do, but I would come down in the morning and go get some breakfast. And a place back then you could smoke inside, and place would be like a chimney in there, you know, and all these old folks, you know, spending their pension money on the slot machines. And I swear when I came back that night to go up to my room, I swear some of them were in the same places, you know?
Yeah.
And Native Americans were making a good buck, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But it was amazing to me how much time people can spend giving their money away.
Oh, yeah. I remember bingo.
And they give you free drinks while you're playing.
That always helps.
Yeah,
it always helps kind of screw your judgment a little bit.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Ah, that was only another $10, you know.
But the food was free, right?
Yeah. They had good food there. I will say that. I enjoyed the food. But this broadcaster's convention I was at had a free, what do they call it? A courtesy lounge. You could drink anything you wanted for free up there. They had all the booze for free.
Yeah, who needs to gamble?
So
when
I didn't
that,
gamble.
Right?
I just went up to the. I'd go up to the little thing every night and have some snacks and some free booze, and then I'd go to sleep, wake up in the morning, and no gambling.
No gambling.
I still had a headache, and I didn't gamble.
But you were not a penny less.
No, I was in good shape. I'm cheap by nature.
Cheap is good.
Yeah, I mean, I worked hard, and I didn't make that much money anyway, and I figured I'd save as much as I could. And giving it away, like I said, I will buy the occasional lottery ticket when I'm really feeling lucky.
But only if it's up to a billion, right?
Yeah, if it gets up to around a billion, yeah, I just don't want to be the only idiot that isn't part of it, you know?
And it's going to be some guy on welfare down in...
Right.
Down in Florida that wins it anyway.
Right.
And he'll be back on it in 5 years.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, majority of people that win the lottery and within 5 to 10 years,
they're broke.
They're broke.
Yeah. Well,
same with athletes to bring it back to sports.
Right.
I think
not as much as it used to be.
I think at one time, this might be about 10
especially
years
basketball.
Old.
Basketball.
Yeah. At one time, I think it was 60% of players are poor by the time, like 7 years after they retire.
Yeah.
You know who held on to it the longest than anyone?
Who's that?
Baseball players. Because they struggled up through minor league after minor league after minor league.
That makes
almost
sense.
On per diems.
Right.
They learned how to squirrel it away to survive on next to nothing. When they got to the big leagues, they weren't spending that money, the big league money, where the a lot of basketball players back then would go from the ghetto.
Right, exactly.
Into instant millionaires. I mean, you had these guys that were buying shark tanks with sharks in them and things like that. Then they couldn't understand why in 3 to 5 years they were completely broke.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. They came from nothing, and they weren't used to handling money. And then when they got a big bunch of it, it was a party time.
And that's one thing the NFL does the beginning of every season. They always parade, especially to rookies, around the league and tell them, this is how you take care of your money. This is how you take care of your money. And what's his name? The kid from Ohio State got into all that trouble. He travels with, don't be like me.
Yeah.
He learns his living telling people not to be like him.
Yeah.
You know,
Maurice Clarett.
Maurice Clarett, yeah.
Don't be like me.
Don't be like me. Yeah. So, even now, I think with the name, image, and likeness that they're able to make some money, I think you're going to see less of that because at that point, they're already used to handling money in college.
Yeah, you're right. They'll be getting a taste.
I don't know. What do you think about the name, the NIL?
I can sort of see it, but When you were talking about Aaron Rodgers earlier, my thought is you got to watch with money and players because, especially when it comes to football, there was a commercial last night while I was listening to the Jets game, and it was something about there's no I in football. And I'm thinking, well, that's true. There is an all in football, but there's no I. And to me, that drove home that it is the ultimate team sport. And if you're throwing all your money at one player, say like Aaron Rodgers, and he's out now, if he's out for the year or if he's done, you know, that money just went to him, and you got to pay other people.
And I'm
now.
Sure they had to guarantee his contract in order to get it.
Or at least a big chunk of it was. But same thing with NIL. If certain players are making all this money,
right,
and the guys who are blocking for them or getting them back on the field by making a stop.
My son, who's coached quite a bit of high school, an assistant coach at a lot of high school, really does believe that football is the greatest team sport out there, that you can't. You are no better than your weakest person, because if your weakest person is a hole that somebody can run through, they run through there until you can stop them.
I think,
kind of a thing.
I think some of the NFL people are getting away from that, but in general, it's still. I think there's just a phase now where all the money's going to quarterbacks, and they're going to find out.
And the running backs are just ignored.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and they're not happy about it. You're starting to hear them grousing
because they have a lot less of a livelihood. In football than certainly a quarterback has.
Yeah, you're lucky if you make 5 years as a running back.
Right.
So
yeah, they're getting beat up on every play.
They deserve some money.
How much, though?
Well,
I start thinking about the guys that are griping. You know, they're still making millions of dollars a year, the guys that are making the most noise.
What was the one of the basketball players one was that, oh, am I going to feed my family? He was getting like several million dollars a year. I'm concerned about feeding my family. He says, no, you're not. What are you feeding them, caviar?
Yeah.
I keep finding all these relatives. I didn't know I had.
Yeah, there's that, too.
You've got to feed them, too.
Them be family, right?
Yeah.
They be family.
Yeah, I just think they're so far removed from what normal people have and make, you know, that they think they're worth.
When we talk it on, I know you guys do on Sunday too, but when we talk it on Tuesday, it just becomes a number because you don't actually conceive of making that kind of money.
I can't even conceive making the league minimum.
Well, yeah.
Give me that and I'm set, you know.
And, you know, we talked about Joe Burrow earlier, now the highest paid player in football
for this week,
yeah, until someone else tops it. And he stunk the place up yesterday, you know, days after signing the biggest contract ever in the game of football.
But you know, again, they don't play during the preseason because they now have an extra regular season game, and it's like the first two games are like preseason games.
Part of that, why they don't play, is because of the big money. They're afraid to do anything.
They're afraid that they're going to get hurt.
Outside of a game, yeah.
Yeah,
that's why they saved Aaron Rodgers for the first game.
He got four plays under his belt.
And, whoop, okay, we're done.
That made all the difference.
I wonder how much that cost him per play.
Hey, guys, it has been a hoot and a holler having you here today.
That was great fun.
Yeah. And
time flew.
You guys need to tune in. Everybody needs to tune in on Sundays from 11:30 to 12:30 live sports and review. Jim's there every other week. I think I sit in there most every other week. And then Dan and Tomato are in. And sports is to have fun with. So let's just have fun.
Yeah.
We had fun. We hope you did too.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see everyone next week with Sports Sidebar. I believe Captain Bill, if he can't hobble his way in here, then he'll be, he's going to do a remote program.
Oh.
So we'll see how that works. And we'll see everyone. I'll see everyone next week on Tuesday, and these two guys see everyone on Sunday.
Yep, there you go.